Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of MCU for Dummies. I'm dummy number two, Lou. This is dummy number one, Ken. Jam-packed show this evening. If you've been following along this whole time, you know that we have played around with the format a bit. We are actually streaming live on Twitch for this show. So it's going to be a bit choppy if you're watching it. We're going to post the audio, the video form, then we'll post the audio in the normal sites. We're also on Twitter at MCU for Dummies if you want to follow us over there as well. But jam-packed week. If you are watching the video format, you'll notice that we have a bit of an agenda with some links. Ken, I think I'm going to go through each of them. I'll probably they mainly tie to an article or a video. Article, I'll just read the first paragraph to kick us off. Video, we'll just put it on the background. But jam-packed week this episode. So normally I'd ask you for any opening thoughts, Ken, but I know a minute ago you probably just finished watching Dune.
We've got a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, which was an effort for both of us, given that Ken and I both have partners, we work, the movie is 2.5 hours. Would love to get your thoughts on the timing there, but this movie's still fresh in your mind. It's getting a lot of good praise from the folks that are within our Twitter world. And it's getting some mixed reviews, I think, from like overall cinema fans. So where do you stand on Dune, and how would you like to lead this conversation?
Wow. First off, what a good question. It was interesting. I have many a thought. It's a struggle to, we all know it's hard to see movies, right? Like if you are a 9-to-5, or if you're a corporate guy or gal or whatever, you know, it's hard to get to the movies if you have other responsibilities, right? Like Lou mentioned, we both have partners, and you know, like you have to spend time with them or they won't want to be around you anymore, and that would be not so beneficial. So they're like, you have a lot of things to do. I was just in New York for a couple of weeks, so I needed to like hang out with my family while I was there. So like, I didn't have time to like go to the movies as much as I do while I'm home. So like just getting back here and like not having time to get to the theater, I was getting nervous because I really wanted to watch Dune in the theater. And I think one day I probably still will. But I wanted to get it done before tonight. So just an hour ago, little more than an hour ago, we finished. A little less than an hour ago, we finished. And I am not a Dune guy. You are not a Dune guy. I know. I don't believe you read it or have interacted with any of the old miniseries or movies.
I'll double click on it, but you keep going.
Yeah. So it's you know, man, for like not a Dune fan, I think it's really cool to have a story again where I didn't know anything that was going to happen. Obviously, you know something, like you know the synopsis of the, like the background or like you know what the whole point is. You just get that from watching trailers or being on Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. But in general, like I just enjoyed it. I thought it was perfectly fine. I thought it was long, and I thought it was kind of boring. And I knew that I was going to have those feelings based on some reactions of people that I trust who have watched it and who are Dune fans as a whole. Some of whom even recommended like just wait until the second one is coming out and then watch both because this one might be weird. And it was. You know, they do this thing. They do this star-studded cast thing in this movie, which I don't mind. I think that's fun. And everybody played their roles, I think, pretty much to perfection, and didn't like try and outshine one another. But man, if I didn't know that Paul, I thought Chalamet's acting decisions were interesting. He's good. He's like the prettiest dude I've ever seen in my entire life, which is like just like a fascinating feeling to have as a grown
without
man.
Without even trying.
Oh my God, that jawline! Holy fuck. But it's like, you know, I don't know, like it was fun. That's all there is to it really. Right. Like all I want to do is see the next part, which I imagine has like all the fun stuff in it. And this was a perfectly fine table setter. I just wish that they didn't set the table 2 years before dinner was served. And I feel like I'm going to just be wanting for more. And this, I have a feeling that this is one of those rare situations. You can include Terminator and maybe Lord of the Rings, depending on where your feelings are. But like, the sequel will be better than the first. And it's very rare that happens. And I think that this is kind of the case here. I mean, they only used the first 40% of the book, and the first 40% of the book, from what I hear, is pretty boring in the book. And it was fairly boring on the movie screen. The visuals were stunning. The acting was great. The Hans Zimmer score was phenomenal, et cetera, et cetera. All the accoutrements were phenomenal. But like, the story itself needs some juice. And I imagine that happens in part two, which of course they need more money. So that's where we'll get it.
Keep going. I'm having trouble my headphones here, so you're gonna have to.
It's okay. I've got more,
or whatever you call it.
No, it's okay. I've got more. So I do appreciate the teasers. I liked the Zendaya kind of she's going to be very important. She's just kind of a vision right now. She's kind of on the periphery. We know, and plus she's Zendaya, right? So you don't cast somebody in that role who's just going to say two lines and then not be important. I just thought it was cool not knowing anything. I'm so in this world now. Wow, that was a wild sound. I'm so in this world now. Yeah, no, that was pretty crazy.
Okay, I think we're good now. So I know you just LARPed or whatever it's called.
Vamp.
You just vamped.
I did not LARP. Lou, LARP is a live action role play. And
okay, you didn't LARP.
We are not LARPing on this show.
Yeah, LARP. The problem is I'm an Apple shill. So I got MacBook, iPad that I'm monitoring the Twitch. And then I just pulled up something for Twitter on my phone. And then my over expensive plastic pods that stick in my ear are let's connect to every device. So that is the issue here. Ken, I'm going to be honest. I don't know what we really talked about after you talked about Timothée Chalamet, but from what I can surmise here is that you had mixed feelings on the movie. You go to movies with open mind, but you're just it didn't strike the chord. And then two, for what it was doing, it just didn't it didn't hit your bullseye. Is that fair?
It was good. It was good. It just wasn't. It wasn't the whole shebang, right? And it never was going to be the whole shebang, right? That's the whole part of having part two. So it just kind of is what it is, right? We'll get part two eventually. It just didn't happen yet, and that's, I imagine, where a lot of the fun stuff is in part two.
Yeah. When I was I probably finished the movie about an hour ago. I had to break it up really into several little chunks, and
yeah,
people will probably hate on this, but I had to watch it on my computer, and then I watched it on my iPad, which I definitely understand why the IMAX can do this movie a good service. So sorry about that. I just didn't have time to get there, but I still wanted to watch it to form my own opinion.
It happens.
On the screen, we have 84% from the tomato meter. For critics, 91% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes for Dune. The phrase that comes to mind for this movie is, this movie was, here's the soundbite: Dune Part 1 was just fine. And what just fine means is that it did its job. And what it did its job means in the year 2021 is that a movie can just be an expression of art, some form of media that you don't have to interact with. And just because everyone in the cast, from Thanos to Timothée Chalamet to MJ, are big star-studded cast, it doesn't mean this movie needs to be held to an original Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
So I thought it was just fine. It was good. If this is your thing, you're gonna love it. If you like going to the IMAX, I like seeing the MCU movies in the IMAX. This is your thing. I get it. But I thought it was just good. I don't think it's raving about it, but
thoughts. My only reaction to that would be if you are a Dune fan, you will of course very, very, very much appreciate this movie, right? Because the miniseries I've heard really good things about, but it's been a long time since the miniseries. The original movie I've heard really shitty things about, and it's been a long time since then. right? So like you've been starving for some like Dune content if you're a Dune head, and you got it and it was good. Like there's nothing about that movie to dislike. I got to be totally honest with you. Like,
yeah, I agree.
You either thought it was perfectly fine or you're a Dune fan and you thought it was great. If you think it sucked, you just like not.
You missed.
You're off. Like, I get, yeah. I understand everybody gets to like intake art in their own way. I'm a big proponent of accepting things and trying to like ingest them in the way that is most valuable to you. But also like turning around and saying, like, if you want to turn around and say like Saw 6 was bad, sure, fine. Like maybe it wasn't like a great story and maybe the acting was off and maybe the cinematography wasn't great. Maybe Saw 6 is just an overall bad cinematic experience. But Dune is not that, right? Like it's in a different category. It's a good movie. You either think it's perfectly fine or you loved it because you like Dune. Those are your two options. But really, I like, you know, if you loved it and you didn't like Dune, then you are a higher mind than me. How's that?
If you liked it and you didn't like Dune.
Like if you went into this movie and you knew nothing about Dune, like you were like, I don't know, you're 13, let's say, and your dad dropped you off at the movie theater because he's having an affair and he just needed you out of the house. And he said, go see a movie that's going to be almost 3 hours long. And you were like, okay, I'm going to go see Dune because I like Zendaya and Timothy Chalamet was in Little Women. And that sounds like a good time. And then you walked into the theater and like you left and you're like, this is the greatest fucking thing I've ever seen. That then sure. But I can't imagine anybody feels that way other than that child. And that child should call CPS because that's abuse.
Yeah, that's not good. I definitely missed up screen share here. The last thing I'll say here and then we'll move on is that so I've read the portion of the book that the movie showed twice. It's very challenging to read, and I always question when I see like Twitter heads talking about how Dune's a great book about leadership and how Dune is just like a fantastic novel. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I thought this book is very challenging to read. Okay. I think I'm smart. I read more than 50 books a year. Like this book was not easy to read. This is not Harry Potter. This book was written in the 1960s. Okay, the writer of this, the author of the novel, Frank Herbert, like tried mixing together some sort of like drug induced with the sand and like anti imperialists because he was very skeptic about JFK and Camelot and how people were just following them in the 60s. And this is like where like I read this in the New Yorker like 5-10 minutes ago, but I think this is where like the revisionist history of these things are so funny because in modern standards it's like, dude, oh my god, what an amazing feat of leadership. And then meanwhile the author in the 60s was just like anti-war, like wrote for the Republican Party, was very anti-imperialist, correlated water with oil, like this need of water on the planet Arrakis to what like the United States was going through with oil. So, and he's also was a terrible guy. He was not a good father at all. So the rendition of the supporting characters in Dune, like Thanos and Jason Momoa, the coolest uncle,
Aquaman, who got, if you will,
get man got paid however much money he got. They just divide it by every time he hugged Timothy Chalamet.
Oh my god, I know.
And they said, here's your paycheck, because he was just way too cool.
Here's the
let me just finish this thought.
Go ahead.
And then the man that they first see on the planet that it does a very poor job at security with the black strip on his tongue. So like those three characters are supposed to be like symbolic of Paul as like father figures, because the Duke Leo is just like in a different world of I have no emotions, I cannot connect as a father. Go on, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I was going to say, can you name the there is a third superhero connection, not Zendaya, but a very MCU for dummies. Yeah, who
polka
is it,
dot,
man? You
polka
got
dot
it?
Man.
Polka dot man, huh? Yeah, that once I saw him, I was like, that fucker.
Which is crazy because he's got no hair and no eyebrows.
And he's an interesting, that whole group, Harkonnens, right?
Yeah.
They're a fascinating group.
Yeah, so closing thoughts. Here's Dune in a nutshell. I think that what it's proven is that people really like like lore based faction stories like Game of Thrones. Sure. Like they, like I think the biggest takeaway for me is just Dune being very visually and audio pleasing, and then yep. also all of the mystery of like who are the Harkonnens, like the mom's character Lady Jessica at the Bene Gesserit, like who are they, like there's so much like, you know, stuff. And now that like this is Warner Brothers, so it's HBO, like they could really do a lot of stuff like in a TV show format. Yes. In yes. my opinion, going forward. So I think the mystery of everything that you saw in Dune is like one of the biggest takeaways. I think how it was produced was amazing too. Really wish I would have saw it in IMAX.
Yeah, same.
And I think same. Just like the cultural relevance of the characters, I think will carry this thing going forward. Yeah. And that leads us to the next talking point, which is very quickly, right after the movie came out, Dune Part 2 gets confirmed like within a week. Yep. And I know you're a bigger movie head, but have we ever seen a sequel like confirmed in this time range before?
Yeah, I well, it's one of those things where it's like very like it was the worst kept secret of all time that there was obviously going to be a Part 2, right? I mean, there was no doubt in anybody's head. I guess the only question was, is the movie going to just totally take a dump at the US box office, right? Like that was it. It had made a killing globally before it came over to the US. And the only holdup was, all right, are these weird Dune heads that we see on Twitter actually going to go to the movie theaters to see it? So that way we can make Part 2 and we could just announce it. Obviously the answer to that question is yes. I mean, you look like it's crazy to me because I still want to see. Like I said, I was away for 2 weeks. Didn't get a chance to go to the movies. It's very upsetting to me. It's very difficult, hard to combat internally that I haven't been able to go to the movies. But I wanted to see The Last Duel, which apparently made like $8 at the box office. I cannot even fathom how few dollars that movie made, and it stars Matt Damon and Good Soup guy, Kylo Ren. Why am I forgetting his name? Adam Driver.
Adam Driver.
So like just like a total miss, and like you can't even go see it anymore. It's been out for like 2 weeks and all the times are already gone. Like they're like, yeah, we fucked up. Sorry. We didn't mean it. It's got pretty good ratings. Anyway, like that was the only concern for Villanueva was, is this going to at least make a dollar in the US and then we can announce, which is cool. And like I said, I had heard from a couple of movie reviewers that I trust, or people that I trust their reactions to things, who said, man, if I were you, I wouldn't even go see it until Part 2, because this is going to be confusing if you never read it or you didn't interact with any of the Dune yeah. stuff before this. So it's such an interesting thing. I think it's cool that there's going to be Part 2. I am a proponent. I am a stalwart of the limited series run. I think that's where content should be headed. I love the movies, you know I do. But I think these types of stories, these types of epics that require the world building that Dune does, right? Like you need, like Game of Thrones, right? If Game of Thrones came out as a movie, it would have sucked, right? There was no way to do all of that in a movie. Now, could you have done like one book as a movie and then done another book as another movie and then another book as another movie? Maybe, but it would have been tough. Would have been really hard. I like limited series runs. I think that's like, you take a look at the WandaVision run, you take a look at the Falcon and the Winter Soldier run, right? Like that sets you up. It takes you from point A to point B, gives you time to develop characters that you maybe don't know so well. Gives you time to develop worlds that maybe need a little bit more exposition, right? And I think people love the Dune miniseries, from what I've heard. People like that better than the original movie because it gave that type of platform for the world to get built. And I wish they maybe did that this time around, especially since it's Warner Brothers and HBO Max, and they have that with Peacemaker and all the DC folks now. So I kind of wish that they went the miniseries or limited series route. And like I said earlier, I just wish they didn't set the table for a Part 2 for dinner for 2 years from now. It's just like it's a little annoying.
No, I'm with you. There's 6 books in this series and it's going to take them 3 years from the first movie to, well, I guess 2 years, 2023. I guess this year's almost over. Whatever, year and a half.
I don't know.
To complete just one movie, and that's probably going to take like 5 hours of on-screen time. But so someone who like read the books, I'll be honest, like I probably will go back to read this book because I'm now interested, and I think
sure.
the first book was just written in such a higher standard of sci-fi that I'm not accustomed, like I'm Hunger Games and, you know, Mistborn series, which is like so much more like straightforward. It's not like The Hobbit, which I still find like people are like, this is a children's book, or like Lord of the Rings, and I'm like, no, it's not. Like, I think like there's a lot of challenging aspects of that that are hard to visualize, but now that I can see it in a movie form, as Ken just sucks in a snot rocket, it's much easier to appreciate now. So I think I might go back and reread the books. I think that would make it a better experience. I personally thought there were a lot of points in part one that I thought like, okay, if you don't read the books, like I don't understand. There was a lot of like long stares and a lot of like, oh, we're making an emphasis of this. And it's like, how is somebody going to know that?
Yes.
But then, so I guess what I'm trying to say is that this is just such a project that was taken on. And I don't know where it goes after this, because part two is going to be successful. And then what? All right, is there just not going to be an appetite to complete the rest of the books? What do you do at that point?
I don't know. I don't know.
Timothée Chalamet is
going to be like
30.
I guess it depends on like what is... It's so interesting to me too, because and of course there's the parallels, right? I mean, even George Lucas, the creator of Star Wars, will tell you that these, and I think I saw an old interview where he said these two are they're very much like poems, because he didn't take what was written in Dune to make Star Wars, but he rhymed them. I think that's the vernacular that he used to describe the influence.
The 84 director David Lynch was tapped to originally do Return of the Jedi, and he chose to go with Dune, and then was very specific on saying like, I'm not gonna, you know, repeat anything that George did. But go on.
Yeah, no, it's just very, very interesting the way that these two things came to be. And you're right, I mean, you wonder like how much of Dune matters, right? Like, is it all six books, or is it just the original, right? Like, does any other Dune story matter?
Yeah, I guess time will tell. But for now, there's enough appetite to.
Whenever the dude, I guess that's the you're table. Right. I mean, time will tell, and like you just said, man, where there's cash, there will be a production. I'll tell you that. And if the next movie, you know, grosses $750 million, they're gonna make a part three.
Yeah, and
they're just gonna do it. Right.
We're MCU for dummies, but by no means do we hate on the DCEU. Warner Media that owns HBO Max.
No.
Suicide Squad was not, I think, what they're looking for. We'll see how Peacemaker plays out in their first feature series of a character. But if this thing doesn't launch, you got a really nice miniseries or like limited series of Dune to kind of play around with. Because by that time, Succession's in season 5, and it's like, all right, what's coming? What's coming? I don't know. Let's just serialize Dune and then put
HBO
it in the good
is
parts.
Such a weird old thing. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And we'll see what Warner does with their movies in 2022. I haven't seen, I don't think they're continuing with the joint release, right? I know 2021 was the full, once it goes live in theaters, it comes live on HBO Max. I can't imagine that's going to be the case in 2022.
Nope. People are already salty about that. So unless another pandemic comes up, which we would have bigger problems.
We really don't want that, folks. We really, I'd rather you all, no offense, have to grapple with not seeing the movie at home on the day that it releases over another global pandemic. I hope you understand that. I think we are hopping to our next point. On that note, we are hopping to our next point, which I believe is Guardians of the Galaxy. Am I correct,
Luke? This is a fun one. I'm trying to make sure the sound doesn't play for the clip we're trying to reference here. But Ken, Guardians of the Galaxy, this is probably your first time seeing this, as you're not as big into the gamer sphere as I am. So let's just rewind it a bit to play some...
is Howard the Duck in it?
Howard the Duck, I do not believe, is in it. But this is our last topic of the headlines for this week. I'm choosing to play this video that you'll see a mixture of this terrible Avengers game. This is what you're seeing right now. Terrible.
Oh, gosh.
Terrible. This was a money grab, monetization, no bueno. But Guardians of the Galaxy came out, and it is being extremely well-received, actually, for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Really?
You'll get some... more of the visuals. I don't know how well this video does it justice. It's also having a hard time buffering. But some of the good things that we're getting is that just this game does exactly what, you know, it wanted to do as a Guardians game. It just tells a nice story with these characters.
Is that Twink Star-Lord there? Who is that?
It's a different rendition of Star-Lord, Ken. They didn't play as close to the MCU rendition of the characters. Here's Gamora. You see a bit of Groot and Drax a bit. But, you know, this game is getting very good reviews. It got an 8 out of 10 from IGN. It's a fun piece of the MCU in an interactive media form that the Marvel Avengers game, which is, I think, going to like a free to play, and then they want you to just buy a whole bunch of shit in there, is not. So I feel like it does it a disservice because the MCU has an array of different experiences that you can play for video games. There's really good ones with Spider-Man. There's good ones with Guardians of the Galaxy, and then there's just complete shit with Marvel's The Avengers.
Interesting.
This is a good note leading this week.
I'm excited, Lou. I'm excited because, you know, I'm attempting to wet my beak into the PS5 world. I'm trying my hardest. And at the same time, you know, I'm trying to expand my gaming lexicon a bit. So exactly. I'm trying to get past the roster updates on the Maddens and the NHLs and the shows, et cetera, et cetera. And I want to expand a bit. And I think with these types of things, I might have the ability to do so. So my question to you, my friend, is as like a first timer, right? Like I think Spider-Man's going to be my first one because everybody seems to love it. I know the character well enough to enjoy it. What would you say about the Guardians game? Is it something that I should have on my radar?
I think it's definitely Spider-Man and then the next one. If you can get I don't think you'd get the second one in actually before No Way Home, but I think you would be inspired to play the original PlayStation 4 version of Spider-Man once you see No Way Home, because that game has a strong build of all of the villains of the Spideyverse, so it's pretty cool. Miles Morales is a piece of art. It's amazing. Guardians of the Galaxy, not as good. But I think just from like an MCU fandom, you like to see these types of things. You like to see people giving a shit about taking a movie and making it into something and not just giving you complete crap. That's what a lot of people said about the Wolverine games. And that's why we're excited about the remake. It was just
especially
flat.
Lou, because we're almost done with the Guardians, right? Like we're going to get Guardians 3. And I believe that's it for our crop of Guardians of the Galaxy. From what I know of where the MCU is headed, I'm pretty sure that after Guardians 3, our group, right, our Groot, Raccoon, Gamora, Drax, Mantis, and Peter are donezo. So
probably can't afford them. You got Chris Pratt as Mario. No, you got Drax, Dave Bautista as now the Dune star. You got
the Dune
Bradley
star
Cooper.
And the weird commercial guy for Disney Plus, the streamer. Whatever he does.
He's done a great transition. The Dave Bautista, John Cena transition from movie theater to wrestler to movie theater has been fascinating.
The question is who did better, Lou? You know, who did it best?
I think, you know, John Cena, a bit of a sellout. At least Dave Bautista comes off kind of cool. And he was in James Bond, which I think is awesome too.
That's true. John Cena really just wanted to make dick jokes. And he was in like a bunch of those weird movies, like Cock Blockers. And I actually know somebody. I met somebody the other day. Not the other day, I suppose, but a while ago, who was an extra in Cock Blockers.
Oh,
you know?
That's good for the resume.
Folks, learn something new every day.
That's all we have for this week's headlines. Into the next.
If you
part
have
of the
other
agenda.
Headlines, also I should mention that if you have other headlines or you see something throughout the week that should be considered as a headline on the MCU for Dummies podcast feed, please feel free shoot us a message on Twitter at MCU for Dummies, and we will make sure to include it on our new agenda, which is I think like the coolest thing I've ever seen in action on this podcast. I will not say it's the coolest thing I've ever seen because I have seen. A no hitter in person, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and naked people.
I
bring us to the next topic, though. Going through MCU updates, I think the biggest one of this week is that Bill Murray is announced to be featured in some capacity in the eventual movie of Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Just reading from the text here earlier this month, Cosmic Circus, shout out to you guys, reported that Murray has joined Marvel Studios' third Ant-Man film in an undisclosed role. Murray himself has now confirmed as much in an interview with German newspaper Frankfurt Allgemeine, whatever, shared to Twitter by user Patrick whatever. You know, quote, you know, recently I made a Marvel movie, Murray said in the interview, which has been translated from German. What a weird paragraph.
I know. So
he gets interviewed for a German newspaper and then drops that he's going to be in a movie.
It's got to be one of those things. As somebody who works in PR, like, you are mostly concerned of the people who have literally nothing to lose. And if this German newspaper...
Bill Murray.
Right. I don't know, you know, I don't know how prevalent this newspaper is, but I guarantee you Bill Murray's not sitting there going, man, I'm concerned about what I say during this German interview, right? Yeah. And the reporter's going, I don't care if Bill Murray hangs up on me. I'll never get to talk to him again, right? Like, who gives a damn? So I'm going to just ask him, you know.
And now we know his name.
Y and Z.
Patrick
right.
Heidman.
And now here we are, right? And who doesn't want Bill Murray in their lives?
Deutschland.
Is that a nice news?
Und die Welt.
Wow.
Murray goes on, I probably won't tell you, but never mind. Okay, wait, hold on. So he goes, you know, I recently made a Marvel movie. And then he goes, I probably won't tell you, but never mind. Murray continued, quote, in any case, some people were quite surprised why I decided on such a project. But for me, the thing was quite clear. I got to know the director and I really liked him very much. Talking about Peyton Reed. He was very humble. Everything you want from a director. And with the cheerleader story, bring it on, Girls United. He made a movie years ago, which I think is damn good. So I agreed, although I'm not interested in these huge comic book. I think Bill Murray was drunk when he was interviewed for this. Can we just, and with the cheerleader story, bring it on, Girls United. He made a movie years ago, which I think is damn good. So I agreed, although I'm not interested in these huge comic book adaptations as an actor otherwise. Notably, the director of 2000's film Bring It On, which was good. I watched it as a part of a high school girlfriend relationship, known as Girls United in Germany,
there,
is none other than Peyton Reed. Reed, who helmed 2015, blah, 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 Ant-Man. Okay, so I know the new Rockstar guys have some video about what this means, Bill Murray in the MCU.
I have not seen that yet.
I think they're pulling some Council of Kang type of thing, but
okay.
It sounds like neither of us really know or can speculate where Bill Murray is going to fall into the MCU.
Oh, God. No, but all I know is that we want Bill Murray in the MCU, right? So, like,
yeah.
Nobody's upset about Bill Murray being here. Everybody's A-okay with that. Like, we're all looking forward to it for sure. I just, like...
Okay, who's the Nova Corps
continues
guy?
To be, like, the weirdest.
Not Bill Murray.
What's his name?
Oh, John C. Reilly. I always get them confused.
Yes. Wow, that's an affront to Bill Murray, my friend.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Bill Murray's Groundhog Day
I just
guy,
think it's
right?
cool. Yes, Groundhog Day okay. guy.
Quantumania, Groundhog
Garfield.
Day.
Garfield.
Yes. Ken, what do you think about the Quantumania logo that's being floated?
It's fucking love it. I think I love it so much.
Yeah.
What does I that need mean? Ant-Man. I don't know. I need Ant-Man to be the weirdest fucking thing in the world. Like, it's already
worse
been
than Doctor
weird
Strange?
As hell. Yes. I need Ant-Man to lean into... Lou, in the first Ant-Man, we watched a giant ant play the drums. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Like, that's what I need. I need that from this franchise, from Ant-Man's franchise. I need total chaos. And Bill Murray leads to total chaos. I'm very much in. Very much.
Sounds good. All right. So, Bill Murray, welcome to the MCU. Will be fun to see where he comes from. In other casting news, we got Will Poulter casted as the villain, which you guys may know as in the second Guardians film at the end, there's some golden man that is being in a sarcophagus that is about to be awoken. And then everyone, of course, is like, oh, Adam Warlock, my favorite. I'm just like, who the fuck is this guy? Like,
yeah,
classic fandom where Ken and I always are like, who the hell is this guy? And no,
yeah,
you
that,
were not.
That is
for him
us. That's us showing our age, right? Like, that is showing how fucking stupid we are. Because I remember I went to see. I watched Guardians 2 at home while I was doing the MCU rewatch after Endgame. And I just remember that post-credit scene happening and me just being like, cool. sure. whatever. This? I'm sure that's going to be a lot of fun because he's fucking golden. But like, people are losing their minds over it. And this guy is like, I think he's very funny. This guy,
he's fine. I wouldn't say he's like an asset to the American people, but
yeah, he's fine. He's fine. You know, he's an actor. You know, yeah. I think there's one guy who I'm actually shocked didn't get to do it, and I'm looking him up now, and I'm going to tell you his name.
In the meantime, I'll just read this first paragraph because I have something about this. I had to do an investigation on my own damn time, and I did not find any results that I was satisfied with. The paragraph goes, Will Poulter is surprising fans with his buff new look. I asked the question, where is this buff new look? The paragraph continues, The former child star is preparing for his role as Marvel superhero Adam Warlock in director, a.k.a. the craziest person in the world, James Gunn's upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And it's no exaggeration to say Poulter is looking muscled up in his latest Instagram video. And then they embed this video from Instagram that he's talking about bullying. Okay, so he's in the anti-bullying agenda. That's great.
Oh, yes.
This guy is not... Ken, where are the muscles? What are they talking about?
Let's see here. Let's see if I can... I mean, you know, maybe he was very little.
How are you going to lead with a... Oh, we got to look at his... I don't know.
That's all. He doesn't look like The Rock, which is when you were reading that, that's what I understood him to look like.
Or like Michael B. Jordan during Black Panther. Right. Where he like transcended his body and assumed the frame of a god, and everyone was like, that's a change. Will Poulter, I'm selling the news, Ken. I'm not buying it, but it should be fun. Welcome to the MCU.
I mean, British, who knows? It's those Brits and their American accents, man.
I call them an American asset. So now I'm like, he's
a British asset, Lou. The boy who I thought was going to be Adam Warlock, looking back on my casting choices, was Cody Fern. And he was in F-E-R-N, Lou. And he was in American Horror Story back in the day, season 8, I believe, Apocalypse. Just kind of gives me that vibe, doesn't he?
This is like, very James Gunn pick.
Right, like I'm quite shocked that it isn't him. Now the other guy is like they mentioned, like he does a lot for the community. He is like pretty well known. He probably can be a little unhinged and like probably a little funny, but this guy just looks unsafe to be around.
This is when like men struggle to understand like what women want. This is the modern. Desire. This is the heartthrob. Just someone who does not care. He just does his own thing. I think what's interesting is Will Poulter, who doesn't seem to be a big guy, and then this guy, your choice, Ken. I think so. Will, I think, was 5'10". This guy does not look overly tall. This guy's 5'10". I don't know how tall Will Poulter is, but the golden woman, who was the actress that played, Princess Diana in The Crown, she's like 6'4".
Yep.
So
holy shit, seriously?
She's huge. Yeah, she's very tall. Maybe not 6'4", but like 6'2", 6'3". So I don't know how big buff Will Poulter is, but we'll look for that in the Guardians Volume 3 on this episode of Body Shaming with the MCU for Dummies.
Yeah, I know.
Ken, the meatiest topic of this week, we're going to look at two articles. I'm going to read you two paragraphs for The Eternals, which is literally has been dunked in the bloodbath of our greatest hopes. Give me your quick reaction of like what you're seeing in the internal sphere before we read you this terrible review by Johnny Olenowski, and then a more positive one before we get into the discussion.
I am seeing the issue with comic book movies becoming what they have. And by that, I mean, I am seeing the issue with the MCU being so broad and so mainstream that it assumes people like Johnny Olenowski and others who are Rotten Tomatoes-ing it up, have the fandom and or background to enjoy these movies. Because let's be honest, the Eternals is not for everyone. It's an MCU lore movie. It's the same thing as Dune, right? And we see the comparison between the two a lot. There's a lot of similarities between Dune and the Eternal. Not the stories, but like the way they're shot and the epicness of them and the world building that goes into them, et cetera, et cetera. So like like we said earlier, if you weren't a Dune fan, the movie was probably just fine. If you are a Dune fan, the movie was probably great. If you are not an MCU fan, Eternals could be a letdown. If you are an MCU fan, Eternals is going to be great. So I don't got time for people just who don't read comic books. I don't read comic books. I don't pretend to read comic books. But I don't got time for people who don't read comic books, don't enjoy the lore of the stories that these movies tell, giving these movies a bad review or bad feedback or just trying to turn it into The Pianist or The King's Speech. Like nobody's going in there to see that. We're going there to see a Marvel movie, and sometimes Marvel movies are not gonna all be Black Panther, you know? Like not every Marvel movie is a 90 plus on the good score, right? Some of them are in the 70s. Some of them may even be in the 50s. We like them all anyway. So why do we give credence to these people who are just here, literally just here to bring people down? And it gets me back on my soapbox about like, why do we have to listen to the meanness? Like why I don't understand. But I'd love to hear Mr. Olenowski's feedback.
Do you hear what IGN said? My favorite MCU meme. Eternal. So IGN gives it a 7, which means good on their rating score.
Okay.
He says, Eternals Fine. Is beautifully shot and terrifically acted, but it bites off more than it can chew in the third act.
Isn't that exactly what I said about Dune?
I just think like that's the so just to give you guys a little inside baseball here. One of my favorite narratives of the MCU is when people say, "Oh, the third act was weak." The third act is a superhero movie. There needs to be some sort of altercation and some fight. And guess what? It's 2021. Everything is visually, you know, animated here. It was like Shang-Chi. Oh, the third act was a little weak. You know, I really didn't believe
too much dragon CGI.
I didn't feel
they should have gotten a real dragon.
I didn't feel like I was the dragon or like in Dune, like, oh, I didn't feel like I was, you know, the worm or something like that. I'm making that up. But I think they knew what they were looking for in Eternals. And that's why they had the star, Angelina Jolie, Kit Harington, Rob Stark, everyone else that comes out. But they knew what they were getting into. This is a lore film. This is like the deepest lore film I think they've ever released in the MCU. Because it doesn't really rally behind like one specific character. It's just this collection of individuals known as the Eternals. It's not the Celestials. Right. Like it's not, you know, they need to set this up if they're going to be in deeper into this space sort of vibe with Kang coming into the fold. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. I think the problem is how early the press has been able to access this movie. Maybe that's it.
I hate that shit, man.
Because from like Leo Riedel, you know, at Geekly Goods, he has this movie in his top 4 of the MCU rankings. And I saw a couple people have this movie number 1. I don't know if they're just attention seeking or trying to like captivate on the moment, but that's so this movie is like beloved within the MCU fandom. From the New York Post, which this feeds to Rotten Tomatoes, this is probably the most critical write-up of Eternals, which is you can see by my screen. New York Post is, you know, a paper of status with all of these advertisements left and right. This is how the article starts off. Just out of infinity bore. Sorry, Marvel's Eternals. Seriously, what a snooze. Fresh off of winning the Best Director Oscar for Nomadland, Chloe Zhao has unchucked one of the MCU's worst movies in ages. And to what end, Eternals, which will no doubt become a Jon Favreau punchline in a future Avengers, film need not exist in a universe that already counts the Fantastic Four and X-Men among its franchises, which to me says, wah, I'm a middle-aged white guy, and I'm sad that, you know, Stretch and, you know, the Torch aren't being included in the story to my liking.
When do I see Professor X, please? He's the comic book man that I know, and I don't want to see this Indian Kumali Nanjiani play a character on my comic book movie, because I need to see Captain America lift the shield again. And by the way, Captain America, he's a white boy from Brooklyn, okay? He's not that nice black African-American Falcon fella. He's Chris Evans. Okay. Give me the Wolverine and the Magnet Man from the X-Men right away, and by the way, with the Chloe Zhao, okay, we understand she was given an award because she's a woman, okay? We get that. So we don't need her vision in the MCU, right? We could just go get Zack Snyder, okay? Because he's got the vision. So we can just have him back. We could take him from the DC and we could put him here in the MCU. And then we go ahead and then we got the Magnet Man and the Professor X boy. And then we can get back to real superheroes, okay? Because these fellas are just made up. These aren't even real heroes. Okay, Angelina Jolie, no way. Okay, no, thank you.
Thank you for the sound. We'll get that one out. No, let him keep going. I think, damn, it's just like it's so unfortunate because everyone who's like within our sphere of the MCU like loves this movie. But then I'm seeing like Rotten Tomatoes. And like 63% right now. It was like 68% earlier in the day. And there was like, they're stopping the reviews because Disney doesn't want the number to go down. And I don't know. I could see easily like audience score that I'm showing right here being like in the high 90s by this time next week when everyone's able to see it.
Yeah. The best movie, I gotta be honest with you, like literally the best movies of all time have like a tomato meter of like 6 and an audience score of 9 million. Because it's
Rotten Tomatoes
like, shit,
is not
guys. Like
it's not the Bible. It's just a marker.
No.
It's not the Bible. It's just a marker. It's a data point we can pull into these conversations to help us understand our subjective opinions here. But I do think I'm not really
some might say, Lou, that is also the Bible.
It could be. Let's see some other ones. Involves a lot of windy. Oh, this is good. Brian Orndorff. Involves a lot of windy locations, sparse imagination for action, and a cast of characters who are seldom interesting. Also, I just want to throw it out there. There seems to, without doing any spoilers, I know nothing about this movie, but there seems to be, can you believe a same-sex kiss in this movie? And I saw some things on Twitter. Can't validate it,
okay.
But there seems to be an IMDb bombing of this movie of 1 star because... You know, it's promoting the gay agenda or whatever they would say out
there. Well, Lewis, if we can really think about it for a second, okay, I got to take my kids to go see this film, okay? And when my kids are sitting there in the theater, they're going to be going, Daddy, why is that feller kissing another feller, okay? You told me never to tell Mama that you kissed that guy at the gas station
come back.
One time.
Come back.
And now here I am.
Another review.
Got to explain to my kids.
Another review from Jermaine Lucier. Eternals feels like a balloon that tried to hold it all together, but was filled to bursting. It's too much and not enough. The result is very ambitious, very well made, kind of flat, and unfortunately forgettable film. Next one. It flies high, grapples with huge themes and ideas, tries to keep check with humor and heart, but the whole thing feels so overblown and overwrought that you kind of walk out of the screen in a daze. Why do people think like they just experience like the Stanford prison experiment?
I know. It's
a
fascinating.
Superhero movie.
These responses like, oh my God, the major themes are too much. My human brain here can't follow along with all these crazy themes you got going on. Okay. How are you supposed to do that in just 2.5 hours?
A film that is constantly at war with itself for nearly 3 hours.
Okay,
everyone's
Kyle.
Everyone's allowed to have their own opinion. Top critic, K. Austin Collins. Eternals is so busy showing off what it can do, where it can go, that it bypasses and overlooks what it really has to offer. There are real dilemmas, real battles of interest buried beneath the soft-pedaled, naturally lit, cozy surfaces of the movie. Mind we also explain that these characters are entering a world where,
no.
I don't know where they are, but like Thanos tried to do his thing, which, okay, Thanos, he's purple, okay? He's not real. He's an alien. Okay,
yeah, no,
Luke,
also, this is, according to what I'm seeing here, everybody is angry that this is the only time we'll ever get anything consequential having to do with the Eternals. Knowing what I know about the MCU, there's no way we'll ever get a sequel. There's no way they'll ever appear in another film. There's no way any of the other major themes that they've tried to tackle during these movies will be addressed in another subsequent film. From what I know with the MCU, they will just one and done it. They will never talk about it again. There's no shot that there's further explanation down the road. There's no shot that there's more action or more consequence or et cetera, from these characters in a subsequent movie. There's just no way. So, I mean, the Eternals, it must suck because that's it. You get 2.5 hours with these guys and then they're done. They're done. They'll never be back again. No more story with the Eternals. Sorry, is what it is. I know we we just watched a 23 movie saga, including 4 million characters that included in many multiple movies. But this is it for the Eternals. Okay,
we gotta wrap up.
You only
get
one shot,
talk.
Angelina Jolie, and you blew it.
I'm not trying to do the Eternals hatred. All I'm saying is that I think that the criticism that's coming out early is not. I'm not expecting it, and I'm not expecting it because I know something that other people don't, or that I think that my opinion of the film is going to be higher than others who do this for a living. All I'm saying is that these are superhero movies, and there's not a lot of instances when they transcend the medium into, I guess, regular folk. Like, if I go home and, like, my family who will watch the big movies when they come out, I think like earlier before we hit like Infinity War, like they would probably see all of them, but now it's more so like, oh, it's on TV, or like, let's watch on Disney Plus when they come out, which I think is like the normal American consensus. The TV shows I think are a bit much. I'm supposed to get checked into this on a weekly basis if I'm not already in the world, so therefore I don't think like Eternals, like, I think I'm gonna get exactly what I want out of it, which is just a new story and a new cast of characters.
I'm totally with you, man. 100%.
I'm still gonna see it. I'll see it Thursday or Friday or whatever. But yeah, we'll see how this one plays out.
The plan for this dummy is to see it Friday.
I'm going to probably see it Friday too. Let's check in on our good friends at Inverse.com. You do like on Applebee's. Spider-Man.
Is this a day's special?
Not a day's special. Right. But Spider-Man, it seems like every single... So this is like... Spider-Man is has been in the Dune trap. Spider-Man and Dune are like co-pilots 1A and 1B. Where the bar, I think, of these movies are set so high that they unquestionably cannot be met. Because...
There's no way.
It's impossible. Like, so, it's a spoiler came out. I'll read... So Inverse.com says right here, Spider-Man No Way Home trailer leak reveals a promising update. We will not really go far into anything that's being discussed, but Marvel fans are eager to see more from Spider-Man No Way Home. I can ensue that statement is predicated on the fact that there is another trailer that is supposed to be coming out. The original No Way Home trailer at 53 million views on YouTube.
It's supposed to run before the Eternals, Lou. That's the plan. There's been some negative review that they may not have it ready for the Eternals preview. But it definitely seems like it's getting closer to being ready to go.
Yes. I'm not going to go far into it because I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it seems like we were getting more superheroes. There's a magazine that's coming out with a photo of Doc Ock and Peter Parker, Tom Holland. I don't know. I think we'll just keep we'll just keep dripping into this conversation as the weeks go on, but I'm not paying attention to Spider-Man. I don't want to know anything. I just want to go watch it the day of.
Exactly.
I think it's going to be great.
Exactly.
I'm done. No more.
And I haven't heard the big Eternal spoiler either. I know there is one. It might just be the kiss, I suppose. But like I haven't heard. I know there's a big one floating around. I also don't know, Luke. I have a question for you because I'm a big movie guy, but I was never like this ingrained in a community of movie watchers, like movie people, that I am right now with the MCU stuff. And I man, there are so many people who just go see these movies before they exist. And I don't know why that happens. Like I
very
think
early too.
Much like I feel right, like much like I feel like the internet needs to be like reset, like you need to hold the reset button on the internet so that our good old friend Uncle Chet there who was talking about the Eternals a couple minutes ago, like so that he's regulated from like, you know, doing crazy things on the internet. I'll leave it at that. But like I feel like there should be way less access to these films before they become like widely available. I understand that it's good reviewers of all different ilks and kinds and et cetera to like get the chance to go see these movies, and they have different voices and they have different perspectives and they have different audiences, and that's all very important. I definitely get it. But like, if you show the movie to the entirety of the world before the movie comes out and then people like spoil it, you can't be mad, right? Like, you knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. I would like to get someone like Days, who's been on the show a couple times, to talk about the embargoes. I'm familiar with it from like the video game industry, because a lot of folks will get these reviews up that are like 35 yeah. minutes long the day before a game comes out. And they're always like, oh, hey, what's up, guys? It's 12:01 here. And, you know, the embargo was just lifted. So here's my video, which I think is fair. Like, there's these embargoes that mm-hmm. are strictly enforced, mainly because I think video games are like one-to-one. Like, you get like a code and a copy, you can play the game. When the movie theater, it's like, come into our theater of 400 and come see this movie. But man, Dune, I felt like people were seeing that like early October. And then Eternals is like 2 weeks before. So it's just like, what? For everyone, it's like, oh, we don't know how sales are going to go because, you know, people aren't getting vaccinated. They sure are very willing to bring people in for early access. And there's an embargo at all. It's just free for all. So I'm not a big fan of it. I hope that kind of gets snipped, you know, going forward.
Yeah.
Or at least Marvel steps in and they say, like, you know, no early pre, like, I don't know, maybe just selected. You just get the newspaper folks in there or something like that. But
that's kind of how I feel. I don't know. I feel like it needs to be regulated. I do.
Yeah,
like,
Ken wants to regulate everything. Rules.
I'm a big rules guy. Give me some rules around this crap.
Well, here's a good rule,
Ken. What do we got next?
We got a Hawkeye poster that came out with some holiday cheer. Boy. This one I think is going to do good because I think they're like, Clint Barton is obviously the show, but I think they're going to have a lot of sides.
Yes.
To fill up this Thanksgiving dinner. It's not going to be like a turkey-led Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, Haley, I mean, Haley Steinfeld is going to be like
dog.
A++. I mean, that dog. I mean, holy shit. That's the cutest fucking dog I've ever seen in my entire life.
Cute dog. So when this is from the article. When Marvel's Hawkeye releases in exactly 1 month, that's from this past Sunday, Jeremy Renner's Clint Barton's going to have a lot of problems. Try going back to his family after he went on that murder spree in Avengers Endgame. Things take a turn for the worse.
Clint, buddy.
Even when Haley Steinfeld, Kate Bishop, shows up with some pretty good skills and also dressing up like his Ronin persona and pissing off gangsters. No, Best Buy, I don't want to see this ad pop up that has now taken over my screen.
Wow, Best
right
Buy
here.
Taking over the MCU for Dummies. Holy moly. What Jesus site is this Christ. On?
So,
who is this?
This is Gizmodo.
Who is
so,
this? Who is
Kate
beholden?
Bishop,
Gizmodo beholden.
Kate
to the
Bishop
Best Buy
shows
Lord.
Up looking like Clint Barton. Already feeling like he needs to atone. Clint tries to take her under his wing. So it looks like it has a good setup of a story. I think playing around Christmas and Thanksgiving is going to be really fun. That looks like it's going to be nice. But I don't know. The expectations are quite low on this one. But I'm still looking forward to it. I think it's a long time coming. And isn't it funny that he gets his origin story in a TV
show? I'm excited.
Like, everyone gets a movie and they're like, here you go.
I'm excited because... I know, man. Only because this comes in between... Like, they're not stupid when they schedule things, right? Like, we know that about the MCU. We know that about Lord Feige. Like... They don't make mistakes when it comes to scheduling. And the fact that Spider-Man No Way Home comes out while Hawkeye is in the middle of its run means something is going on, right? Like, it has to mean there's a connection. And I know, Lou, I know we just talked about the fact that Spider-Man is becoming so incredibly gigantic that there's no way it can even keep up with all the expectations. But, excuse me. one of the expectations I have with Spider-Man is that it hits with Hawkeye in some way. And I know our friend Hannah, who was on the show last, talked about the potential Charlie Cox connection, maybe some Daredevil, maybe Kingpin, you know, whoever. But I think there's something there, and I think we're going to get it in Hawkeye, and then it will be talked about in Spider-Man. And I think Kingpin is actually a really it would be really cool, and it'd be like a really good nod to like comic fans, of which I am not. So I don't care. Also, I have a thing that's been bugging me for a while.
Let it out.
People are like, they're so mad. They're so mad about like fan service, and they were this way with Star Wars during Rise of Skywalker, which was a bad movie. Everybody can admit, right? Rise of Skywalker was not good.
So the second one,
but like the best parts of it were the third one.
Okay, yeah, it wasn't
the one with Palpatine.
It was a movie made for fans. It wasn't good,
right? And that's okay. That's okay, right? It doesn't if you just want to give the fans things that they care about, like, fine, that's fine. So if they want to put Kingpin in this movie because fans like it, fine, just do it. Stop whining.
My concern with Hawkeye is the third act. I don't know if it's going to be strong here.
It's going to be too CGI'd, Lou. I hear that Jeremy Renner can't even actually shoot a bow and arrow. I mean, can you even believe that? He can't
CGI
even
that.
Take a grenade taped to the end of a bow and arrow, and he can't even shoot it. So I don't even want to watch the show.
Let's put some things on folks' radar. So Hawkeye comes out November 24th, following movie for Phase 4. If I
sure does.
Up. Spider-Man No Way Home December 17th, week before Christmas. We don't see another movie until next May of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So, but the summer looks pretty. We'll get Doctor Strange in May, then we'll get Thor in July, and then not anything in November. Yep. So I think 2022 could be a big TV show year. We're going to see Ms. Marvel, Moon Knight, She-Hulk, Secret Invasion, get some Guardian special, and then maybe they'll move one of these bottom three up, but. You know, I don't know. I think at some point we'll probably get a Phase 5. A little preview at some point, right? You got to move on with that.
When there's cash to be had, baby. You've got X-Men coming. You've got Fantastic Four coming. We know that the Thunderbolts are coming. We know that more Secret Invasion stuff is going to be happening. There is so much money. Money, Mr. Krabs. Money. That is out there that needs to be had. That they will get. They will take our money, Lou. They will take and they will take it aggressively.
In other news, a couple of topics. Ken, let's spend like the most minute just to pound through these, just being cognizant of time here. LeBron James did like
this
Squid
guy
Game.
Fucking nailed it.
Yep.
Nailed his ass. This guy fucking nailed his ass.
South Korean director basically said, so LeBron James goes, I didn't like the ending. I know they started off with the season 2, but like, get the get on the effing flight and go see your daughter, bro. Like, what you doing? So the creator of Squid Game,
LeBron James, father of the year, who lost his son in a video game.
Yeah. Says, that's very cool. I respect that. Thank you, LeBron James, for watching the series. and then basically he says, if he has his own ending that would satisfy him, maybe he could make his own sequel. I'll check it out and maybe send him a message saying, I like your whole show, except the ending.
It's like, LeBron, man, come on. As somebody who, like, I could talk shit to LeBron first off about his hairline. Like, I could talk shit to LeBron about his hairline, and then I could turn around and say, like, LeBron, you know, I liked everything about your game except that you lost again in the finals. You know, like, why would you be that guy? If you're the guy that everybody goes to with their shit, why would you then turn around and be like, wow, this piece of art was great, except it sucked at the end? And when the guy can legitimately turn around and be like, man, everything LeBron did was great, except that he fucking blew it in the playoffs again. What? LeBron, buddy, be better.
I think we're blowing it up a little bit, but it's still funny to poke fun at.
It is very funny. I think it's hilarious. And he fucking nailed his ass. Well, yes. And the guy fucking nailed his ass. I also think we should name this segment. We should steal one from the NFL game day people and call it Come On Man, because that's all I want to say. I just want to Come On Man.
All right, you can do it then. So first Come On Man, LeBron James. Thank you. News that broke today. Buzz Lightyear gets an origin story with Chris Evans. Yes, it's Captain America in Pixar's Lightyear trailer. This is going to be Ken's most looking forward to movie of 2022. Chris Evans is going Infinity and Beyond.
I'm going to cry my ass off.
Captain America himself is voicing Buzz Lightyear. Some fans say that they wish Chris Evans did live action no, I'm kidding. He's doing the voice. That will be just fine. Pixar's upcoming origin story for everyone's favorite Toy Story character, aptly titled Lightyear. Pixar released the first trailer for the animated family-friendly sci-fi movie on Good Morning America on Wednesday. Family-friendly, Ken, that means that Chris Evans cannot make sexualized comments as Scarlett Johansson.
He might try.
Rumored events that might have taken place on the Avengers set. But Ken, are you buying or are you selling Lightyear?
I'm buying, baby. I'm buying this one. And all I have to say is to Pixar, Lou, I got to say, come on, man. There better be a Woody production in the works as well, because we need background stories for our favorite cowboy as well. And I'm very excited to see it.
I agree. I think it's just like a great idea. Like, if they were thinking, what are some like business ideas we can come up with? Like, an origin story for Buzz Lightyear just seems like everyone's
so
like,
great.
Oh, of course. So
it's so cool because, like, obviously we grew up with Buzz the toy, right? And Buzz the toy is a fucking weird guy, right? He doesn't know that he's a toy. He thinks he's a dude. And like, he becomes like a great guy. Like, we all love Buzz. Buzz the toy. Buzz the toy is great. And now we're going to like get this like childhood feeling of knowing why in the Toy Story iverse they created a toy named Buzz Lightyear. And it's probably going to be because this guy is really fucking noble and like just a cool guy. And he does some great stuff. Maybe he even dies on this mission, because Pixar will do that to you. They'll fucking rip your heart out. We know that. And like, we're going to have like an even bigger appreciation for Buzz because of the man that then becomes the toy that then becomes the man again. It's fascinating. I think it's great. And that's why I say, give me a Woody one too, because everybody loves Woody.
Yeah, that would be great. Moving on to Ms. Marvel. So Ms. Marvel, the first, I want to get this right. I believe Pakistani Muslim-American superhero. Muslim-American superhero. Actually, a very fascinating story that's included in like the Disney Plus series about like women and diversity in comic characters. This like initiative of like diverse characters led by Roxane Gay, who's, I don't know how else to describe her as except just like all over the place. Like, she writes for the New Yorker, New York Times, thought leader in the diversity space. Also writes for comic books, which is kind of cool. But we got the situation here where they got Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel, going to be in a TV show next year. One would assume probably featured in the next Brie Larson, Evil Woman, sequel of a movie. But Ken, the problem here, as the article says, at the MCU risks making a big mistake with Ms. Marvel. To read the first paragraph of the article, Marvel Studios risks making a big mistake with MCU's version of Ms. Marvel, and a rare misstep. When Kamala Khan made her comic book debut in 2013, nobody really knew what to expect. Precious few new characters firmly established themselves in popular culture, and so when writer G. Wilson Wilson launched the first Ms. Marvel series in February 2014, she had three issues. Exit strategy for its pre-orders were low. Instead, Muslim American superhero became a cultural phenomenon. Ken, I'll give you just the takeaways here. The character is weird and has big stretchy arms, and people are saying, one, what does this mean for Fantastic Four, Mr. Stretch? How is my brain going to have this woman character? And then that man, the Fantastic Four, how are we going to have both of them stretch, Ken? And also they're saying, do we need to change her powers? Because is this something that we can show on screen that will make sense? So a very interesting conundrum here, where they might change the canon character because they feel like just to quote the author here, the co-creator, quote, she's got very comic booky powers. God bless them trying to bring that to live action. I don't know how that's going to work out in a way that doesn't look really cool. I might have hit you here with a curveball, but
I'm sorry. The comic book character has comic book powers and they're concerned about it.
What about the Hulk?
I'm sorry. I need a minute.
Hold on. The redesign is, however, a big mistake. It assumes that a superhero's powers can be switched without radically affecting their identity. But while Ms. Marvel's powers may not lend themselves naturally to the cinematic experience, they were deliberately chosen. Khan is best viewed as an everyman hero, and Ms. Marvel's powers as an extension of that. Another of Khan's co-creators, Sana Amat, explored this in an interview, saying, I'll just read this until it's not no longer relevant, but... Ken, are you speaking? Because I can't hear you. I think you might have unplugged something.
No, I'm reading? Baffled. Okay, I was doing a little bit of reading.
Her polymorph seemed to make sense. This is a quote from another co-creator. There's a really great message there when you think about a young girl who doesn't like the way she looks and doesn't think she fits in, who can change to look like anything. And her not being herself was a big part of her own self-exploration. You know, in the first issue, she morphs into her idol, Carol Danvers, who's Brie Larson's character in the live action, and that was a very specific choice we made because of her thinking that the ideal and the concept of strength and beauty and perfection is someone who is literally her opposite in terms of
looks.
Don't
introduce her to MCU fans, if you know
yes.
what I mean.
So that power set really was organic to her story, and I wanted to make sure she didn't have typical pretty powers with sparkly explosions in her hair blowing in the wind, or even powers of flight. We wanted to make sure it was a little quirky. She's a teenager. Her powers are a little awkward, and I think that's kind of fun to play with. Here's a story about two women that create a diverse character that connects with actual young girls, and then they say, we don't know if we can adapt this to live action, so therefore we might just have to cancel this.
That's literally insane. I've definitely seen, and I don't know much about this story. Obviously, I was intently reading, but like I don't know much about.
I'll text it to you.
Of Ms. Marvel, and I don't know much about the whole lore behind it. But like I've seen a lot of folks on Twitter saying if they change her powers that. That'll be a huge error, right? And I was like, at first I was like, okay. I mean, like, you know, they kind of change some things about characters all the time to make it work, right? Like you need to do X, Y, and Z to make it fit in the universe as a whole. However, her powers are clearly, very clearly, as described by the creator of said character, her powers are who she is, right? They are the character themselves, right? They illustrate the struggle of trying to be oneself. And you literally cannot change that out of a person. Like you cannot change that out of a character. And the fact that I literally heard you say, reading from an article, that there's concern that her comic book characteristics are too comic booky to be placed inside of a comic book show in the middle of a comic book universe makes me want to jump into a sandworm's mouth, buddy. Okay, it wants me off of this astral plane. It does not make any fucking sense. Okay. These characters exist because people ingest with them. They grow with them. They have personality traits that they see in them. They connect. What is the word I'm looking for? I'm trying to find it by say identify their identities, right? They identify with these characters because there are certain characteristics within these people that make them feel like heroes. And that's why they're comic book characters. And that's why they're super fucking heroes. And that's why we cannot change them to make it easier on the CGI folks or on Mr. Fantastic because he stretches too. Eat shit, boy. Okay.
You know, I thought about this with Rocket because I questioned the raccoon adaptation to live action.
Sure.
I didn't know if I could identify with the raccoon because I'm human.
He was too
also,
comic booky, Lou.
Also with Mantis, I don't have things growing out of my head, so I didn't know
it's
if I was able
too
to.
Too comic booky. You cannot have a raccoon and a giant tree in a movie. It just won't work.
Yeah. Ken, I don't know if it was time for the free
was
stuff.
Definitely more than a minute. I apologize.
Oh, no, it's fine. Oh, boy. Okay, here it is. The agenda's back. I don't know if we'll have time for the free stuff.
All right, so let's
I'll throw it to you. Quick... I'll throw it to you. What do you want to talk about? Yeah. You want to talk about... This is the last thing. Batman is Patterson, movie tribalism.
I
want to
do...
Tom Holland and Uncharted, our time in a comic book store when you came to visit New York City. Don't look at Succession Season 3. That was like if we needed something, I was going to be like, hey, did you watch this? And you were going to say no. So maybe we'll just strike this one out. But which one of the last four do you want to touch on?
I mean, I talk about movie tribalism a lot, and I wanted to put it on there because I thought it was a poignant point made by our dummy number three, Ron Solo, who joined us on the show not too long ago, at POC Culture on Twitter.
So you take this one, and you close this out.
Yeah, so we'll show you the tweet really quickly. And then, Lou, I do want to hear about the Uncharted thing really quickly. Before we go, because I think you know
Tommy
more
Holland?
Than I do. Yes. So this is at POC Culture. Ron Solo, dummy number three, who's on the podcast a while ago. Go take a look and rewatch that episode when you get a chance. It was on the Shang-Chi movie that came out a couple weeks ago.
Also raised like a bajillion dollars for children to go see Shang-Chi.
No, he's like
so, great guy.
One of like the best dudes. Yeah, one of the best dudes we've ever met, and like just incredible, just an incredible guy. There are two kinds of fans: Eternals fans or Dune fans. Just kidding. Tribalism for movies is dumb. Watch both or neither; it doesn't matter. Ron, at POC Culture, I mean, fucking yeah. Who gives a damn? Why do we have to keep having this conversation? Why do we have to keep reminding people that people like different things, and that's okay. This isn't like if you want to be tribalistic about like. Racist people or like sexist people or people who you know are murderers, right? And you like want to be mean to the murderers and maybe like not include them in your family cookout, that's fine. But you can't do that with people who like different art because it's art for everybody. So who cares if you like the Eternals? If you didn't like the Eternals, that's fine, but you don't have to make everybody feel like shit for liking the Eternals, right? That's the point. You don't have to care that other people have different likes and dislikes. That's fine as long as they're not murdering people or hindering their experience of life in any simple way. So, Ron, thank you for this tweet. Continue to tweet it. We need more retweets on this post. Everybody should see it because fuck off. Just let people enjoy the things they enjoy. You don't have to close the circuit. This is something I heard on a podcast I listened to, a politics podcast called Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. And the host, I know, right? What a great name. The host, Ben Kissel, who is just a fascinating man. I don't agree with him on everything politically, but you know, he's just a good guy. And the thing he likes to say is don't close the circuit, right? Hatred thrives when you close the loop, right? I hate you because X, you hate me because X, and then here we are. We've closed the circuit and we continue to go around. We don't have to do that, right? You hate me because X, whatever. I don't care. And then there's nowhere for that hate to go, right? It doesn't continue on. You didn't close the circuit. So it stops. It ends. There's no more hate, right? We don't have to do that for movies, too. That's the problem. So, Ron, good on you. You do not get a come on, man. You get a two thumbs up from the dummies. You get a two dummies up. And then, Lou, let me hear a little bit about Uncharted before we go. We got a minute.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay. We got one more minute. Tom Holland, Zendaya in a relationship, as everybody knows. Zendaya setting the world on fire with Timothy Chalamet. Boyfriend Tom Holland hanging out with Mark Wahlberg. You know what's funny? Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, I wish Zendaya had more lines. And it's like, yo, this is how the book was written. And don't feel
she's
bad for her.
She's going to fucking rock in part
She did
two.
Fine.
Yeah, she's doing fine.
The weirdest movie, Uncharted. So Uncharted also is from the studio that created The Last of Us. So Naughty Dog is having a bit of a moment this year because they got Uncharted and then they're gonna have The Last of Us TV show on HBO Max. This looks weird and very strange because at the same time in February of next year,
I don't hear the sound. So
you can't hear the sound? Okay, that's actually good because it's very loud. So I'm trying to lower it a bit. Okay. You don't really need to know what they're saying. Did you hear any of that? Because you're better off if you didn't.
No.
Okay. For those listening, I apologize if you did hear Marky Mark and Tommy Holland in his British accent. So we forgot about that. This one just looks weird. It's going to be strange. It's supposed to be like a treasure hunter sort of vibe. I applaud him, but this really feels like I'm done with Spider-Man and I need something different to do. And that brings me concern as a co-host of a Marvel podcast that Tom Holland is done fucking ties with the MCU.
It does make me a little nervous. I also, though, wonder, Lou, I wonder if he has seen other people's careers and he said to himself, I'm not just going to limit myself to Marvel. I'm going to do other things. Because we've seen him in other movies, too. Well, like, he was in a Western a while ago. But, like, he's not just going to do nothing else while he's being Spider-Man. And maybe continue to grow himself as an actor or et cetera. And I think that's cool. And maybe that gives him the freedom and the hope to stay in the MCU. I'm going to flip reverse it. I'm going to flip reverse your take. Okay. Took it. Pancake it.
You like the take.
Pop it.
I didn't really have a take. I don't know if I'm going to flip reverse it. I don't know if I would go to the movies to see this. And honestly, this is another one of those things where this movie is going to be a solid low 70s, high 60s.
Oh, yeah.
And that's fine. It's an adaptation from a video game that people played from the early 2000s with like a PlayStation 3. If you like that, you'll probably find this interesting and cool. And that's fine. It doesn't need to be like The Godfather shown on replay for everyone above the age of 50 on AMC.
Well, I mean, it will be. It absolutely will be on TBS, though. We all know that. That the Uncharted movie will play on TBS. It'll go like this. It'll go, We're the Millers, Jumanji, Uncharted. That's how the TBS lineup will go.
And then Four Christmases. Ken, send us packages.
And then,
get us out of here.
Christmas. Folks, the MCU for Dummies, we're back. It's been a long time. I missed you.
2 weeks.
A lot of fun. We're having fun here. Been a couple weeks, but we are back, and we are better than ever. At MCU for Dummies on Twitter. There is so much out in the movie sphere that we are going to talk about next week. I'm finally back, so we're finally going to get back to the theater itself. We got Halloween Kills that needs to be seen. We got the last duel that I got to find somewhere, since apparently it's not in theaters anymore. There's a lot of stuff out there. We got to go see it. It's exciting times. I'm excited. You're excited. It's all exciting. So, MCU for Dummies on Twitter. We appreciate the follow. If you have anything for next week for our headlines, please do send it our way. Continue to engage with us, folks. We appreciate the follow. We appreciate the conversation. We appreciate a like, a retweet, anything you got for us. Tell us how you feel about the format of the show. We're always tweaking. We like to tweak, not with drugs, I should mention.
Not tweakers.
That we are not tweakers, but you know, we love to play around. We love to make it work for everybody. So we're still trying to figure it out. Okay, figuring ourselves out. It's like we're in high school. Okay, we've got hormones going on, and we're exploring all of our options. And
oh God,
this is our latest option. Anyway, follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at MCU for Dummies. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. I'm Dummy Number One Ken. That is Dummy Number Two Lou. And we will see you next week with some more MCU for Dummies.